Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today I have my special guest, Richie Allen of The Richie Allen Show. If you're not familiar with Richie's work, get over to richieallen.com. He's everywhere, and he is in the UK. So today I'm looking to get perspective on the UK of what happened in Manchester on the Illuminati number 22. So it'll be an interesting day. Good morning, Richie.
Hey, Maria, good morning.
Good to have you back on the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm delighted to be back on. And being situated in Manchester and only a couple of miles away from the arena where all of the where the incident took place on Monday, I'm sure I've got a couple of perspectives that maybe some of your listeners might find interesting, maybe some of them won't, but yeah, I'm right here in the city. Yeah, it's where
Absolutely.
We broadcast from
right.
Every day. I've lived here for years, and yeah, I love the place.
Well, it looks like a beautiful place. I did want to ask you, because I see a lot of your posts when you're actually taking some downtime, going to different shows and venues. Have you been in that particular arena?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, we almost have a season ticket to the venue. Caroline and myself, we probably go there every 6 or 8 weeks. We're big music fans, Maria, big live music fans. And it is one of the biggest indoor arenas in the world. It's the biggest in Europe. It's vastly bigger than a lot of the bigger ones that you might think of in America. It's an anomaly. It's a 21,000-seater indoor arena. It's a marvelous venue. And I would go there quite often to watch rock, to watch pop, to watch anything really, because it's so close to where we live. So yeah, I'm very familiar with it and the layout of it.
Right, because I've seen you, you know, sitting, you know, with your little selfies. I've seen you sitting and enjoying different concerts, but I said, wow, I wonder if it's the same arena. So I wanted to ask you this, some of the video that I've seen, and of course, because I've never been there, I wanted to ask you, some of the video that was shown looked like it was in a food court more than an arena. So does that arena have a big, like, waiting room, food court attached to it?
Well, it's very interesting the way it was built, Maria. It's built over Victoria Station, which is one of Manchester's main. Manchester's got several big train stations. It's a massive city and the suburbs. It's a sprawling city and suburban area. It's got a couple of million people. I mean, it's not New York, obviously, but it is a huge city. And Victoria Station runs right underneath and through Manchester Arena. So there are different ways to get into the arena. One of the ways is to go through the train station and walk up a couple of flights of steps. Then you come onto a bridge. You walk across the bridge and you're into the foyer of the arena. So underneath the arena, alongside the train station, are plenty of shops and plenty of cafes and all of that. So yeah, you're seeing a lot of different videos taken from a lot of different places. It appears that whoever detonated the bomb, whether it was Salman Abidi, the man who's been blamed on, or whether it was something else, and we can talk about that, it appears that it wasn't detonated, obviously, inside the venue, in the arena, in the actual venue where the stage is, but just outside in the foyer. That's the claim that's been made. But yeah, you'll see a lot of videos from a lot of different places. Because it is a huge arena, and it's built over a very big and a very busy train station.
Right. Now, another video that was post-dated, May 10th, showed a very similar scene in what looked like the same place I had seen some of the other videos as part of a drill. Do you know anything about that? Was there a drill conducted beforehand in that particular arena?
I can clear that up pretty quickly. About a year ago, there was an anti-terror drill or a terror readiness drill conducted at a again, I keep saying massive. You're going to laugh because it's a real Mancunian word. Everything is massive in Manchester. But again, there is a shopping mall called Trafford Park, or the Trafford Centre, it's called, and it's near Trafford Park. Now, this is huge. At one time, again, it was one of the biggest in Europe, a ridiculously large shopping venue. Mm-hmm. Last year, there were drills, readiness drills, were performed there or practiced there, but not inside the Victoria's train station or Manchester Arena. Those drills took place somewhere else, around about 3 miles away from Manchester Arena. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think, you know, that they have some relevance to what happened on Monday. They might do, I don't know, but the drills didn't take place at Manchester Arena.
Oh, okay. I figured you're the right person to ask because you're there.
If I don't know, you'll never talk to me again. I mean, this is the one time that I'm actually near and around, you know, an incident, and I can give some insight. But yeah, if I don't know, you'll never talk to me again. But yeah, to the best of my knowledge, terror readiness drills didn't take place at the arena, but rather at a massive shopping center elsewhere.
Right. Now, one of the things that I immediately noticed was the preponderance of the number 22 in this particular instance. Coincidence? I don't know. I mean, I looked at David Icke's site today, and he had a great meme about all the different terrorist actions that happened on the 22nd of a month. That was my first thought. And then originally here in the States, they reported that 19 people were killed. And then about maybe an hour later, it came out to 22. Supposedly, this Salman Abidi is also 22. And I do know that the Illuminati, the governments, etc., they use master numbers all the time, just like 9/11. How many times has that number been used? So I found that one of the oddities. The other one, of course, is that they immediately knew who it was. And I always know, wait about 5 or 6 hours and ISIS will claim it. It does have a lot of markings of what I like to call state-sponsored terrorism. Instead of a false flag. What do you think about the fact that the number 22 comes up so often and in this also particular case?
It's quite incredible, isn't it? And I saw the same meme that David posted earlier on. And funnily enough, Maria, you and I booked this conversation several weeks ago. But today, waiting for you to give me a call, I was thinking you know a lot more about these things than I do, but I've looked at it closely. I briefly spoke with David earlier on, and I can tell you what David said to me. But, you know, the 22nd of May 2017, of course, Munich last year was the 22nd of July, Brussels was the 22nd of March 2016, and there's been loads more of them in China, in Kiev, the Lee Rigby attack in Woolwich, the 22nd of May 2013, terrorist attacks in Baghdad on the 22nd of December 2011. We all remember Anders Breivik in Oslo on the island of Utøya. That was the 22nd of July 2011. JFK was murdered on the 22nd of November 1963. And I mentioned this to David this morning. He didn't have a lot of time, obviously, because he's in the middle of writing his book. And he said, Rich, could this be, and your opinion here, Marie, is vital because you're into numerology. Could this be their way of signaling to their followers, to the people who do, you know, who carry out their orders and who do their bidding, that this is their work? Is that what this is? Is it like a flag? Is it like a signal bearer on its own of, well, this is us, this is what we're doing. This is who we are. I don't know, but it is staggering.
Well, it's an interesting thought. However, if you think about it, when Kennedy was murdered, they used two master numbers, 1122. And I don't think that ISIS was around in 1963. So to me, if you want to track the 11 and the 22, you've got to go back to who killed Kennedy. And everybody knows at this point that that was an inside job. And look at the world we inherited, because after Kennedy was assassinated, we've had nothing but Rothschild presidents ever since.
I look at what happened over the last couple of days, and I know we're going to come on to talking about it and how it happened and the anomalies around it. I've always found it very difficult to believe that seemingly ordinary people, and this guy who's been blamed for the attack on Monday, the man who allegedly blew himself up, as you quite rightly said, is 22 years old, or he was 22. His name is Salman Ramadan Abidi, or Abidi. He was born here, Maria.
Yes, he was.
His parents were Libyan. They apparently left the country because they were opponents of the Colonel Gaddafi government. They were in London for a bit, but then they moved to Manchester. His dad was involved in a mosque in Didsbury. Now, Didsbury is a small village, about a mile and a half away from where I am. A lovely village. Now, his dad used to do the prayers at this mosque in Didsbury. He went to an academy for boys in Burnage, which is in Manchester. He went to Salford University. I went to Salford University, interestingly enough. He was a big soccer supporter. He liked a bit of cannabis, and he had brothers and sisters. All very ordinary, all very, you know, expected for a young man. So the problem I have is, my problem is that these guys could watch videos or listen to the opinions of radical Wahhabi jihadists who are based in Syria and elsewhere, and watch horrible videos of ISIS beheading men and torturing men. And we're supposed to believe that Salman Ramadan Abidi, who had a pretty basically ordinary life, and he seemed to be an ordinary kid, that sort of imagery, that sort of programming by ISIS led him to want to travel there, and then led him to come back and take a bomb into an arena. I don't buy it, Marie. I've never bought it.
Right.
It's too simplistic.
Right.
You know, it's too simplistic. It's too neat and tidy.
Right.
Radicalized kid went abroad, came back, took a bomb and blew up his peers, blew up his fellow Mancunians.
Right.
I don't buy it. And there are so many problems with the story today. The intelligence services have had to admit that they knew about him, that they've known about him for some time, that apparently he only came back into the country a few days ago. And the French intelligence agencies and Europol knew all about Salman Abidi and knew that he had some connection to, or that he was a supporter of ISIS. So I'm left asking the question, how could a guy known by the French, known by the UK intelligence agencies, how could he come back into the country from Libya when it was known that he was sympathetic towards ISIS and that he was a member of ISIS? How could it be possible that he could come back into the country, not be followed, not be, you know, surveyed by the intelligence agencies here, and he could pick up a nail bomb and walk into a venue and kill people without any roadblocks being put in his way? I've got big problems with that.
Well, you know, it reminds me of a lot of the shows I did after 9/11, and I believe that it was Webster Tarpley who coined two phrases, lie hop or my hop, which meant they let it happen on purpose or made it happen on purpose. So you look at this, right? You look at this kid, and like you said, he's a pretty normal kid. They, as usual, reminds me of the France attacks. They knew who the person was. They were following them. So the only thing I can think of is that it's either lie hop or my hop, and, you know, to what end? And obviously, we didn't have to wait long, because what I read this morning is that you now have 5,000 troops on the streets to protect you. So as David said in another one of his memes, I think it was this morning, problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah, you know, have a look at the response to an outrage like this. Have a look at the solutions that are presented. Mm. And that gives you a clue as to who's behind it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what I'm looking at today is the UK media is building a story around Salman Abidi, or Abidi. Let's call him Abidi, Salman right. Abidi. So they're building a story around him. And I mentioned he went to Burnage Academy, which is a high school. And they're quoting some of his classmates who said he was a jokey lad, he was a good lad, but that he was short-tempered, he would lose his temper over the slightest thing. When he was at uni, he didn't show up very often. Even when he was at high school, they're telling us he didn't show up. And they're saying he was hanging around with the wrong crowd and that he was a gullible lad, a very gullible lad. Some people are saying that before leaving school in 2011, he became more and more religious. So they're kind of building a story around
him. Right. I always call it building the backstory after the event. I mean, every Christian terrorist here in America, eventually they start the backstory. The backstory here usually takes about 3 days. And then bingo, there it is. I mean, these people are so predictable to me. But one of the other weird things is I had read, now he supposedly originally, what, and I'm only giving you what the U.S. has told us, our lying media, okay? Originally, when they covered this story, they said it was a suicide bomber, a lone nutter, as usual, and that he blew up with supposedly the bomb. But they also said that conveniently they found his ID. And my first thought was the passport they found at Ground Zero after 9/11. I mean, if the buildings turned to dust, how did the passport survive? And if this kid literally blew himself up, how did his ID survive?
It's an interesting one. Yeah, and I can't clarify one way or another whether they identified him through the through finding the ID. I don't know if that's true or not. It might very well be because, as you said before, in Paris, in New York, and in other places, the ID was conveniently left behind for people to find, or it survived an inferno. One thing I will say, and I'm not being the devil's advocate, I have seen pictures before of the aftermath of these suicide bombings, and they're dreadful. The bomb generally separates the head and neck from the bomber himself or herself. It tends to do a lot more damage to the people around the bomber than the bomber. Their torso is often disfigured, and as I said, the head might separate. But quite often, if they are carrying ID on themselves, they don't necessarily disintegrate or incinerate. It's not a guarantee that that will happen. So just to play the devil's advocate, it could be the case.
Right. Well, I did re-report. Well, listen, anything could be. It's too soon to tell. We have to see how many more lies they trip themselves over, and then we can put the whole thing together.
What I think. Can I say this briefly? It's very important.
Sure.
I mean, you've touched on something that's very, very, very possible. And that is that, you know, we know that through antipsychotic medication and through other means, we know that people have been controlled and have been manipulated into doing things like this before.
Right.
One of the scenarios is that the kid could have been gotten to by an agency of the very sinister deep state that most people don't know exists, and may very well have walked into the venue with a bomb on his back and may very well have blown himself up. What I do want to say for your listeners who might be wondering, you know, did this event happen at all? Something very serious happened. I'm absolutely sure of it, and we know for a fact that 22 people are dead. Mm-hmm. There's some very seriously injured people at a number of hospitals. One that's very close to where I am, great friend of mine and a great friend of the radio shows, his sister is a nurse. Another great friend of mine who's now living in Ireland but lived here for years, his sister and their children, his sister and her children were at the event the other night. They saw some horrible things. They were in the vicinity shortly after it happened. Kids are being treated for missing limbs, and my friend's sister, who works as a nurse, has said some of the shrapnel injuries that she's dealt with and the chief being observing are pretty horrific. And, you know, it might very well be the case, and I hope it isn't, that in the next day or two, because some people are still very, very much in a very bad way and very critical, that death toll might rise. So something happened. I never take the face value. I never take the official narrative on face value. Radical lone nut who got radicalized by ISIS in the UK decided to kill people. I just don't buy it. I've never bought
it. Right. Well, they blame everything. They blame everything on ISIS, and they blame everything here in the United States on the Muslims. And yet there was Donald Trump bowing down to the king of the Muslims. So people have to realize these people are all in league together. And I've said it for decades. The only thing I trust our government to do is kill us all. But I agree with you, and I knew because you're there that you would know whether people were actually, you know, injured, killed, if it was a real event, which, you know, also helped me out on Pizzagate because two of my co-hosts were familiar with it. So I knew the story was bullshit. But as I say, and it's a little meme that it seems every time I post it on an event like this, it really registers with people. I got notes today, people saying, thank you for posting this. And I just want to read it to you, Rich. It says, false flag attacks doesn't mean it's fake and people don't die. The sick truth is a false flag means people are set up to die for a political agenda and it's time to wake up. So for me, when I look at these events, you know, I guess a lot like you and a lot like David, I look at who's going to benefit, what's coming out of this. And you know, when I saw this morning, I got a news bulletin that you guys are going to have troops on your street. I said, oh, okay, this is towards the authoritarian world that obviously Trump is a big part of, since he seems to prefer all these authoritarian leaders. And I don't know how much you're following his travels, but Wilbur Ross, who's in his administration, said it was so wonderful, basically, to be in Saudi Arabia and not have any protesters. So they always let you know what they intend to do. You know, he doesn't realize, of course, protesting is illegal there. You get your head chopped off for it ever since, I think it was the Arab Spring, and I don't remember, 2004, 2006. But when you look at this, you realize that, you know, and so close to your elections. That's another thing that I thought of, because I saw Theresa May yesterday said that all campaigning was going to stop because of this event.
They've agreed to suspend for a couple of days campaigning because of it. And, you know, again, there are legitimate questions to be asked about that and the response to it. But I just want to touch on something that you mentioned, which is hugely important. About 2 years ago, we covered a story. The Conservative government then, introduced something called Operation Temporer. This is 2 years ago they introduced this, and that was basically their proposal, that in the event of a terror attack and in the event that there were problems, that the police were overstretched and that the police were finding it difficult to execute their duties, that troops could be placed on UK streets, Operation Temporer. Now, we are seeing it in action today because, as you said, it has been enacted. And in London this afternoon, Londoners are getting used to the sight of soldiers in full combat gear, leaving buses and going to so-called key locations, Buckingham Palace being one, and venues where there will be concerts, obviously London, again, like New York, like Paris, like Manchester, massive amount of things going on there. And what you said is absolutely right, Maria. You know, they've elevated the threat level to critical, which is the highest that it can possibly be. And for your listeners stateside who might not understand, critical is where they are telling the people of this country that an attack is imminent. Expect an attack. One is imminent. It's going to happen any minute now. And again, I spoke today on my own show about how they've managed to manipulate and program us into accepting, building our lives around a color-coded terror chart.
Right.
You know, I won't go out today because the terror is imminent. You know, this is extraordinary. And of course, we're being programmed to accept a military police state. We're being programmed to accept the sight of armed to the teeth military people every day. And Maria, you know what these people look like.
No.
They wear balaclavas. They wear this very heavy duty gear. They look like Robocop. And they have their face painted. It's extraordinary. It's straight out of 2000 AD Judge Dredd. It's straight out of Blade Runner.
Right.
But that's what's happening. And you're right. This is the solution, the ready-made solution to the horrible events in Manchester on Monday, which leads you to correctly ask, well, who's benefiting from this? Whose agenda will be laid out after this attack? So therefore, can we have a look at, you know, is there any evidence to link those with the answers to the actual problem? Can we link those with the answers to the events on Monday?
Right.
And the problem is, we know that they've done these things many, many times before. The problem is for us, of course, is getting evidence because we have an impotent media. There's just us and we don't have the access that the BBC has.
Right. Well, you know, when I saw Operation Tempora, but you know, because I love words and I love vocabulary. First thing I looked at, and I looked at it, and I said, okay, Operation Tempora kind of thinks like it's temporary. But whenever here in the United States they say this is a temporary law, this is a temporary tax, it becomes permanent. Just like the NDAA, you know, the Patriot Act, all of these things were supposed to be temporary. But 16 years after 9/11, they're permanent. So you could be facing a permanent police state. Now, I wanted to ask you, because I'm not familiar, in the UK, do you have something similar to martial law like they have here in the United States?
Well, it's interesting. Nobody knows more than you about the Posse Comitatus Act and how in the United States and how that is specifically, that act was introduced to specifically prevent the US Army from ever policing the people of the United States. We don't have martial law yet, Maria. We don't. It's wrong. I think they do in France. My fiance, Caroline, is French, and she was back to her country recently with her job. Paris is scary now because the Parisians, and you hit the nail on the head there. I think the Parisians were told after the multiple attacks on Paris, well, we'll just get the army on the streets while we sort things out and calm things down. They're still there, Maria.
Of course.
And wherever you go in France now, excuse me, in Paris, you're confronted by armed to the teeth, balaclava wearing soldiers.
Right.
What's with the balaclavas? I mean, these guys look more like terrorists than, I mean, when I think terrorist, I think, because I grew up obviously in Ireland, and I think of the terror groups in the north of Ireland. I think of the IRA, I think of the Ulster Volunteer Force, and these guys wore khakis with balaclavas. So now we have military personnel on the streets of England wearing khakis and balaclavas. And in France, they have the same thing, but they've not left Paris. They are there. They look scary. They look intimidating. And we're not quite there yet. But Marie, this is only the beginning of it, because it's only been rolled out today.
Right.
So we're going to have to watch this unfold. But I understand they're on their way to Birmingham. They're on their way to Newcastle. They're on their way to Liverpool. They're on their way, obviously, to Manchester. And people are going to be confronted with that tomorrow, Thursday, May 25th, when they go to work, when they go and take a train, armed to the teeth, very imposing, not very nice, because they don't speak to people.
Right.
They're not engaging with the public. They're not saying, how are you, Maria? Or, hi, ma'am, how are you? And you know, these bastards, sorry for swearing on your program.
That's
they
feel
are
free.
Foreboding, intimidating, huge, massive, arms to the teeth, face-painted, balaclava-wearing, futuristic type military police.
Right.
And yeah, we're going to see it rolled out here. And yeah, as you said, you know, we're being told it's the Operation Temporary. No, it won't be. I'll be talking to you about it next year. And it won't just still be here. There'll be more of them.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you saw the pictures of a sheriff's department in the South here in the United States. They were dressed up just like terrorists with hoods over their heads, et cetera, et cetera, yeah. And said that, you know, if you're a drug dealer, well, we're coming for you. And they looked just like the terrorists.
You know, if you look at the footage, what you're telling me resonates with what we saw in Manchester yesterday. They broke down houses in Manchester yesterday, broke down front doors. And in some of these cases, there's nobody living in the houses. You know, we're talking about the Keystone Cops here, right? Complete idiots. Mm. But worse than that, Maria, this is the police. These guys look worse than the army guys they're putting out there. You know, you've done a lot of work on the militarization of the police in America and how these guys look and right. The use of stun grenades and all this armor and tanks and all this sort of stuff. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling.
I know. It reminds me. It makes me remember when Bush Sr. was president and he had Iran-Contra going on. And he told Oliver North that he wanted to declare martial law as a subterfuge, you know what I mean? And Oliver North said to him, Americans are heavily armed and they'll never stand for it. So he did not declare martial law. The same president who said if Americans knew what we've done, they'd chase us all down and kill us.
I'm going to share something with you that your listeners won't know. I covered it this afternoon, and nobody else will cover this in England today. Nobody. But Richard Kemp, that's K-E-M-P, Richard Kemp. He's a Colonel Richard Kemp. And he's formerly of an organization called Cobra. Now, Cobra is a response group made up of the most senior politicians, where they get around the table and they figure out a response to these types of terrorist attacks, Cobra, right? Now, this guy, Colonel Richard Kemp, he used to be heavily involved. In fact, I think he used to chair Cobra. On national radio today, Richard Kemp has said, and this wasn't challenged by the journalist, that we should be able to deport people out of this country. Even if there is absolutely no evidence they've done anything wrong. If there isn't enough evidence to take a person to a court of law, if we can't prosecute them, we should get them out. And he said non-British nationals, but of course that means everybody. That ultimately means everybody. So here's what he said. He said it doesn't matter if you get it wrong, if that person's human rights has been infringed, because it might save lives.
Right.
That was said by a British Army colonel on national radio today, and it wasn't challenged. So, and he linked it with the sort of extremists who talk about false flag terrorism. So, in another exchange on the same program, the presenter said that he met some people in Manchester yesterday who are blaming the government for it. These are the type of people, he said, who blame the government for 9/11 and for 7/7. So what did Colonel Richard Kemp say? Well, he said these people are dangerous and they should be deported as well because their warped views on September 11th and the 7th of July 2005, which in case your listeners don't remember, were the train station bombings and bus bombings in London that killed 59 people in London. He said people with those ideas, again, are extremists and can also be deported.
Well, I'm not surprised. I think the same thing will eventually happen here. So I guess you and David might have to be moving.
Well, isn't that extraordinary? Because, of course, they say, you know, non-British nationals. But that's nonsense.
Right.
Because when David Cameron was Prime Minister, I know you covered this, he was at the United Nations 3 years ago. And he said that non-violent extremists were just as bad as violent extremists. And when he was asked to give a kind of a definition of non-violent extremists, he talked about people with warped world views that include that the state is behind things like September the 11th and 7/7. So if you hold those views, David Cameron said 3 years ago, you're dangerous. Now we have a colonel, a former colonel in the British Army on national radio saying, those views are the sort of views that should see you kicked out of the country.
Wow.
It is the Orwellian super state. That's what it's... And they're not trying to hide any of this stuff anymore. It's right there now in front of people's eyes that, you know, I think David said to you on a program I heard David do with you of late, as they have unfolded its agenda, it's become more and more difficult for them to hide it. So now they don't try to hide it. So right. It's out in the open for everybody to see.
Absolutely. Right in your face. Just like that movie, V for Vendetta. Richie, we need to take a break. Hold on and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with Richie Allen. He's my favorite broadcaster in the entire UK. If you're not familiar with Richie, get over to his site, richieallen.com. And he's level-headed. And in these days, we need to stay level-headed. Richie, what you were talking about before the break reminded me of that movie V for Vendetta. And I think it was the same actor that was assaulted and arrested in the middle of the night with a bag over his head that they were threatening just a few months ago for his political views. I think it was Stephen Fry. And here in the United States, I don't know if you're following the madness here, they wanted the FCC to go after and prosecute one of our nighttime comedians, talk about art imitating life, Stephen Colbert. But they got so much flack from the listeners that they decided to drop that investigation of him because he said that Donald Trump was Putin's cock holster. I said, why don't they investigate Trump, who's the pussy grabber? Do you know what I mean? He's just as vile as anybody can be. I think comedians here are having a hard time making what he does any funnier than it already is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a real concern that because, you know, there are some people working in the independent media and they say some outlandish things, but most of them are harmless. They're not harmful to anybody. And it's abhorrent to me, this idea that the FCC in the United States, or Ofcom, which is O-F-C-O-M, Ofcom, which is the abbreviation of the Official Communications Act. Ofcom is the body that polices broadcasting in the UK. And they want to police internet broadcasting. So they want to go after individual content creators like me. And listen, I'm no martyr and I'm not important, so I don't want it to sound like it's about me. It's not about me. But there are a number of individual men and women working on their own, doing reasonably, I think I do reasonably interesting stuff. But we're not bound by any official broadcasting act. Mm-hmm. But they want to bring us in under that umbrella because they don't like the fact that we operate outside of their jurisdiction, despite the fact, Maria, that, like yourself, I work within the strictest, or try to operate within the strictest standards. Nobody is allowed to libel or to make accusations against anybody on my program that they can't substantiate.
All right.
And on the very rare occasion when it does happen, I jump all over them and, you know, explain to them and to the audience that it's untenable. They can't make accusations against people that they can't prove, and so on. But they're going after some of the clowns, because it's not the clowns they want. They ultimately want the level-headed content creators who are asking questions that are dodgy for these guys. Questions like the one you posed earlier on. How can the intelligence agencies not be alerted to a man coming back from Libya who had connections to ISIS and who the French knew all about, that was a potential terrorist. How can he wander back in here unwatched and then go and take a bomb and kill all those people? That's a very good question. It's not being asked by the media today. Ultimately, as the agenda rolls out, as it unfolds for the coming police state and the totalitarian state, I think the genuinely interesting and the genuinely challenging independent media is a problem for these people, and I think we're going to see them go after it. And I'm glad that the moves against Colbert and others in the United States have not come to anything. It's an outrage that anybody could talk about taking people off the air or fining them for challenging in a funny way the ludicrous behaviour of your president. It's absolutely scandalous. But you know what, Maria, and you'll know more about your own country than I do, I don't reckon it's going to stop there. It won't stop with Colbert. You know, it'll carry on and carry on and carry on. And give it a week or two, the FCC will be looking at somebody else and what that person said and looking to police. Ultimately, they're going to try and police the internet. The British government here, in their manifesto for the coming election on June 8th, have basically said they want to privatise and police the internet for hate speech.
Well, they want to do this. They want to do the same here. You look at Facebook. Exactly. I, you know, after a while, they had cut my newsfeed tremendously. I lost tens of thousands of people on my Facebook page commenting or even watching what I view. It went from, you know, in the tens of thousands to 5,000. And when I made it public, all of a sudden, my views went up. But I've noticed this week that I get less views, supposedly, on my public person page than I do on my little page, you know, for my readings, which, you know, I just post a happy little slogan or spiritual sentence every day. And I'm like, how could that be possible? I have way less people on this page than I have on the other. So, you know, they do come at us in very sneaky ways. I know you were kicked off Facebook for a while. I got kicked off it three times for a month or 2 months at a time. And nobody wants to hear true voices from critical thinkers. So we are a threat. We are a threat.
What's spooky about me getting banned for a month? There is a clickbait news website out there called Your Newswire. It is utter garbage. It is clickbait. You know, they will invent a story. Hillary was arrested in connection with Pizzagate. Right. And of course, that's not true, but hundreds of thousands of people will click on it because they want it to be true.
Right.
And I posted one of these stories, and I didn't use any bad language. And I said, you know, these guys are garbage. This is utter garbage. Clickbait stuff designed to muddy the waters and to draw people's attention away from real news. And the people who run Your Newswire reported it, and I got banned for a month. That's extraordinary. I wasn't allowed to critique a news website. It's almost like me going on Facebook and saying, the BBC is misleading people, it's garbage, don't go anywhere near it. And I know you, as you've just said, you've been banned as well. You see, Facebook was designed to corral us all in one tiny, tiny corner of the internet. Wasn't it? And so we're all there now. And then they use their algorithms to make sure that very few people see the postings that we make, even though it all looks on the up and up.
Right.
You have thousands of followers, thousands of friends. So God, so many people must be seeing my post. No, they're not. And this is why David Icke said, Hayden Hewitt, the man who runs LiveLeak.com, one of the biggest websites in the world, he said the most dangerous thing that ever happened is that people abandon their own websites. Now, you didn't. Thank God you've got Maria.net,
right.
Which is your site. They can't mess with that. People want to know what Maria Heller is saying, go to Maria.net. But, of course, a lot of people did abandon their websites, left their websites, fall away, because they thought, well, Facebook is the best thing ever. I've got my own website, my own page. But you see, Facebook can control who sees it and when, but they can't control who goes to Maria.net.
Exactly. Well, that's why I've always stayed independent. One of the reasons.
Yeah.
But don't think for a minute that they don't try to hack into my website every single day, because they do. You know, I'm now getting attempted hacks from .ru. Okay. So they all look like, you know, it's all coming from Russia trying to stop me. And it's just crazy. It continues on. But even in my work, I've always been very careful about who I put my name with. You know, if other people ask me to come on their shows, yeah, I need to know what their show is about, because I don't want to put my name in some fly-by-night or somebody who doesn't even know what they're doing, or could be the enemy for all you know. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you yourself have said to me, you know, and I'm honored that you come on my show, that you don't get asked that often to go on other people's shows. So maybe you should consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, nobody asked me. Yeah, it's incredible. This will be the only chat that I have with anybody this month, or, you know, this year. It'll only be you. I've got a very similar attitude to you. It's funny about the Russians and the Russians getting blamed for everything. You know, people are seeing through it. A friend of mine was joking online, and he was saying, you know, I don't put the garbage out. I forget to do that. And my wife has got to do it first thing in the morning. It should have been done overnight. Well, it was the damn Russians, you know.
Right. Well, if it's not the Russians, it's the Muslims.
It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. In America, it's either the Russians, the Muslims, or Obama. Those are the three fallbacks.
Yeah, the three fallbacks. The go-to people and institutions to blame, yeah.
I was... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, Maria, however bad things are, and however dreadful what we've seen happen in the last few days here, and how bad the reporting is by the media, you know, just by the fact we're seeing all these Russian jokes from people who wouldn't listen to Richie Allen, who wouldn't listen to Maria Heller, the fact is people are starting to get it, aren't they? When they're making jokes about stuff like that, it's starting to sink into their brains.
Right.
We're being lied to, we're being misinformed. And once they start to peel back those layers, they'll eventually expose themselves to information on your show. They'll go to David's website, they'll go elsewhere. So it's good, you know, it's good that all this crazy nonsense about Russia and about, you know, ISIS, that it's actually getting into the minds of people who ordinarily wouldn't listen to us, because once they start figuring that out, it'll just open the Pandora's box for them, you know?
Well, I think they've made the playbook, or their modus operandi, they've made it so ridiculously clear that people are waking up to it and they're just not buying it anymore. You know, you're always going to have the people, you know, that are going to change their Facebook picture to, you know, honor whoever just recently died. You're always going to have those people. But what's interesting to me, too, because you and I discussed this a while ago, and you think about David's work for so many years, and when he talked about the reptilians, how that would shut down everybody looking at his work. But I got to tell you, there's never a day that I'm not on social media that somebody doesn't post or call some world leader or whatever a reptile or a reptilian. And now there's a video going around of Melania Trump. I don't know if you saw it yet. Where they point out the abnormalities when she's standing behind her husband, of her mouth, where it surely does look like her tongue is protruding at one point in a very reptilian way through her lips. And some people
have seen it. I must look at it, yeah.
Yeah, and some people have posted somewhere her eyes shift. So people are so much more aware and accepting now of the reptilian agenda than they would have ever been even 10 years ago, let alone 20.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, it very rarely comes up anymore in terms of, you know, when I first began interviewing David a few years ago and before I worked with him in London, it would come up all the time, you know, that's the lunatic lizard man.
Right, well, that's how they try to discredit him. You know, that's how they try to discredit his body of work. But his body of work is excellent, even separate of the reptilian agenda.
Of course. And I would always say, well, listen, I don't really understand the nature of reality work that David has done. I don't understand it. But let's talk about the work on politics, on finance, on, you know, terror that he's done over the years. Let's talk about that. And then later on, then we can explore the nature of reality. But of course, these days, it just never comes up now.
No.
You know, and I think you're right, people are prepared to open their minds to any possibility.
Well, I mean, just look. All you got to do is just look at all the world leaders, you know. Not a one of them show any signs of humanity. They have no compassion, no empathy. They have no real human emotions. And you look at them bowing down to each other. And it's like, you know, reminds me of what George Carlin said years ago. It's one big club and we're not in it.
They don't look well, Maria. If you look at Angela Merkel, and if you look at the recent pictures of the former French president, François Hollande, and you look at Theresa May, they don't look well, these people. They don't look well. And that's, I've been observing that for a number of years. Now, I'm not saying that they're in poor health, but they don't look right. They just don't look well. And you look at Merkel, look at the eyes. Look at the eyes on Theresa May. It's not right, that. And to the uneducated person, and I count myself as somebody who knows very little, they don't look well. You know what I'm getting at?
Right, I do know. I mean, if you look at Trump and you look at his entire administration and all these criminal politicians here in America, not a one of them looks human to me. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, what kind of beast are these people? And now, you know, Trump, after, you know, 2 days of travel, all of a sudden he's exhausted. And there were people that want to believe, oh, somebody kidnapped him and mind controlled him, and that's why he's the way he is. No, he's the way he is. Look at what he eats. He doesn't exercise. He's 71 years old. He's been on medications for years that will eventually rot your brain. And, you know, he's got no soul. So how healthy do you think this guy's going to be? You know what I mean?
Can I say this about Trump? You're absolutely 100% right. And I don't want any of your female listeners to hunt me down and kill me. But I'm going to say this. Trump's behavior around women is deplorable.
It's absolutely. Crazy.
And I am not going to condone. There is no but here. What I want to say is, outside of his behavior around women, which is terrible, long before Trump had any designs on running for president, Trump had held a lot of opinions that people like you and I would agree with. Mm-hmm. Trump was the guy who said shortly after September 11th, well, there's no way that, you know, those buildings just came down because of the planes. Trump has said some things about vaccinations that are very, very wrong. Trump said it's absolutely wrong to be invading countries based on a pack of lies. We should not be invading countries. We should get on with our own lives and, you know, do what we can for ourselves. These were things that, and I don't mean in the campaign, these were things he said in the 90s.
Right.
So, and in the 2000s. But of course, he's president, and what he says and what he does now is vastly different. And you and I have joked in the past about, do they show these guys the Zapruder film, do they, when they get elected?
Right.
Come into this room, we've got a nice home movie to show you, Donald.
Right.
Sit down there and have a look at the film. Any questions?
Well, to me, the sad thing was so many what I used to think were intelligent alternative voices fell for his bull crap, especially when he said he was going to reopen 9/11, the investigation. And then there you see him bowing down to the king of Saudi Arabia, where supposedly 15 of the 19 hijackers came from. And this big munitions deal that he made with them. The Saudis want that 9/11 lawsuit against them dropped in exchange. And you know that Trump, who curtsied to their king, will give them exactly what they want.
You're right. It'll go nowhere. You're absolutely right. That investigation won't go anywhere. And not only that, but he's introducing what has been discussed for some years. To be fair, it's not Trump's idea, but it's going to happen on his watch. The Arab NATO. How wonderful. We'll have 40 countries, many of them not even Arab states, but we'll have 40 countries come together under a military umbrella, of course, to put more pressure on Russia, to put more pressure on Syria, and ultimately to put more pressure on China and drive us to the brink of World War III. It's disgraceful.
Well, I think a lot of what he's done on this trip was to solidify for Israel, to get the worst nations on earth. I mean, to me, Saudi Arabia is a sponsor of terrorism around the world, so that they can go against Iran, which, as far as I know, hasn't attacked another nation in 300 years.
Spot on, 300 years. And if ever a country had a reason to have a gripe with us anyway, after we threw out Mohammed Mossadegh in 1953, mm-hmm. the CIA and BP Oil, a prosperous, thriving, secular country in 1953. We didn't like it because he nationalised the oil more today. We threw him out. We put the Shah in, and everything after that was a bloody nightmare. You're right, Maria.
Exactly. Well, Richie, I got to thank you for this hour. It was pretty quick and very informative, and you're my man on the ground for any news in Manchester. So.
Well, it flew by, Maria, and I always mean it when I say it's an honour to be invited on. It really is, and keep up what you're doing there. Unfortunately, you're a rare breed. There's not very many like you in your country doing real news, doing real stories. So thanks for inviting me on.
Always a pleasure. Anytime. We'll do it again, Rich. Take care.
Can't wait, Maria. Thank you.
Okay. Richie Allen. Check his work out, richieallen.com. And we have to keep our senses about us, my friends, okay? Yeah, things happen. Sometimes they are what they seem. Most times they're not. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow with the news, and I want to thank you all for subscribing to the show. If you're a new listener, you're hearing this somewhere else, if you're hearing this on Gary Null's network, I do have a discounted subscription now for students, for seniors, for people on limited budgets, and that's at maria.net, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.